Today is the last day of the church's liturgical year, or at least the last Sunday. Today is our equivalent of New Year's Eve. Today, we mark the end of the season after Pentecost, and then next Sunday, we celebrate the beginning of Advent. Now, I'm sure you're all aware, but New Year's has historically been a time of resolutions. It's about assessing our lives, taking stock in a sincere manner, and facing what is true head on, seeking to make it better. We call today the Feast of Christ the King, or the Reign of Christ. Now, the whole concept was promulgated by Pope Pius XI in 1925. So compared to many of the other church feasts, it is a feast in its infancy, just a bit less than a century old. And at that point in history, World War I had just ended, but the Pope was lamenting. While war was over, there was still no peace. Class divisions and nationalism had actually increased. And in his mind, the only way this could be remedied was under the kingship of Christ. Apparently, the world just needed a male ruler to whip us all into shape. To him, Jesus was the sole ruler of creation. But Jesus was also its righteous judge. Now, I don't know about you, but I look out at the world and I see the same things that Pope Pius XI was seeing nearly a century ago. Individualism, nationalism, class division, and so much more. I see rampant homelessness. I see lack of health care. I see threats to women's rights. I see LGBT people that are maligned and denied affirming medical treatment. I see economic inequality. I see increased violence. I see racial prejudice. I see sexual assault and harassment appearing on a daily basis. I see people killing in the name of God, and people killing for no reason. Replacing one power with another hasn't been the solution. Jesus doesn't lead by force. He's not going to command armies. He won't dole out orders. And even though he is God, he's not going to force anyone to do anything. He speaks truth to power. He isn't the powerful. He pulls down the elite. He's not one of them. He's not the one that pushes people to the margins. Rather, he himself is the marginalized. And I wonder if perhaps that's why Jesus as king in this gospel is simultaneously shown as Jesus the shepherd. We hear that he's got all of his sheep and his goats gathered before him. In his translation of the New Testament, the scholar David Bentley Hart correctly reminds us that we're talking about sheep, but the goats, they're kid goats. The word used is kid goats. They're the little ones, the immature ones. In an ancient Palestine, it was the common practice to keep sheep and goats together as one herd. Sheep definitely need someone to follow, but they automatically will go and eat the nice tender grass. But goats, on the other hand, especially when they are young and headstrong, they are independent, and they will eat pretty much anything but the tender grass. So the shepherd would have to separate them out. So the sheep could go eat, and then the kid goats the shepherd could teach. directing them where to go, what was good to eat, and to understand that in listening and following the shepherd, that's when they'll be protected. A lone, independent goat can be easily picked off. So in a similar way, Jesus' lessons for us are also meant to help us correct our course, just like those kid goats. They're meant for all to experience a full life. Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Welcome the stranger. Clothe the naked. Care for the sick. Visit the imprisoned. Human society has not done a great job living out these commands of Jesus. But there is hope. And there are also some really great examples from the animal world. When I was hungry, you gave me food. I don't often associate vampire bats with being tender examples of loving care. However, based on research, well-fed vampire bats will share the blood of their hunt with those around them that are hungry. Oftentimes, the hungry ones are those that are sick or are poor hunters, usually due to age or some sort of physical limitation. But they share what they have with those that don't. We could learn a thing or two from them. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Worker ants. They care for eggs by licking them. And if needed, they will move the eggs to a new, cleaner, safer chamber of the hive. But I was also really surprised to find out that they will often carry extra food and extra water in a separate stomach and share this with others in the hive that may not have enough. Maybe they don't have time to go out and get the water. We could learn a thing or two from them. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. In 2011, a dolphin was found living with a pod of sperm whales. While these whales are usually known to be very social, this was the first documented incidence of them adopting someone from another species. The dolphin had a spinal malformation, giving it an S shape in its lower spine, and because of this, it was rejected from its dolphin pod. So the dolphin swam and eventually encountered these much more massive sperm whales. But they befriended each other. They were actually a very good fit, because when sperm whales do their deep dives, they leave someone at the top as the caretaker to take care of the calves or those that can't make the deep dive. So the dolphin had someone there with her at all times. They befriended each other, and the dolphin began living with them. Eventually, when the dolphin would be affectionate, the whales would be affectionate back. We could learn a thing or two from them. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. So in the Arctic, it can regularly get to negative 76 degrees Fahrenheit in the winter. It is very cold. But emperor penguins have figured out a way to stay warm. They create a massive huddle group. They all group together in a massive huddle. It can number up to 5,000 penguins. But what's even more amazing than this large grouping is that they all take turns moving to the interior of the huddle to get warm, and then moving back to the outside so someone else can take their place. And it's this constant shift that enables everyone to stay warm. We could learn a thing or two from them. When I was sick, you took care of me. In the wild, dolphins will care for sick members of their pod. Some will bring back food for them if the dolphin isn't able to hunt, but others will push the sick member up to the surface so that they can breathe easier and without exertion. They've even been known to stack their bodies next to each other and create life rafts to buoy the sick members up on the surface of the water, sometimes for days. We could learn a thing or two from them. When I was in prison, you visited me. This might be my favorite one. A recent study has shown that rats, yes, rats, vermin that we all want to go away, are incredibly altruistic. They will help a cage mate who is stuck in a trap. They will work frantically to free that trapped rat. And this really surprised me. They will do this even in the presence of a pile of chocolate chips. It would be so much easier just to abandon that trapped rat and eat the chocolate by themselves. However, what scientists have found was that the rats would free the trapped one, and then everyone would share the chocolate chips. We could learn a thing or two from them. Now, these animals may not know exactly what they're doing or why. It may be instinct or something else that they've learned along the way, but they do it nonetheless. And I think we can follow their example. We can heed the words of Jesus. If these animals can, we can too. Now, at times, we are all the kid goats. We can be young, we can be immature, we can be headstrong and independent and believe that we can go it alone, that we don't need anybody else in the world. And it doesn't come across in our translation, but what is described as the goat's eternal punishment in the English is being hyperbolic. David Bentley Hart again corrects us. He says that instead of eternal punishment, the Greek is better rendered a chastening. It's a rebuke. It's a correction. Maybe a course correction. And it may be a rap with a shepherd's crook, but even then, that is only done so that that goat can flourish. As a true shepherd, God brings us back to the fold time and time again. God helps us to correct our wrongs, and we get to try again. And so I wonder, as we approach a new year, what will your resolution be?